question I was asking on the other side was, he seemed to be accepted by his colleagues.
Yeah, I think so.
As
yeah,
well.
They worked together and would refer patients to each other from what I was told over the years and my feelings that I got from. And then, yes, they really made a concerted effort to make him feel welcome to use the facilities or whatever they needed. And
because I remember when you told me about the epidemic, you said it was he and another white doctor that were primarily Dr. Webb, was
yes,
that his name?
Yes, I think that was the other doctor's yeah. name in the area.
Right. The other question I wanted to ask you is, where was his office located?
Okay, for a while he had an office that would be like downtown Seneca on like Main Street. It's like at the corner of Main and Walnut. Across from where Thomas Department Store is.
Right, right.
Right in that little area right there, I understand there was an office there. Then there was a drugstore, and then I think his office was upstairs, or it might have been the reverse. His office was below, and the drugstore was upstairs, but it was the two were there.
Wasn't one of his brothers in the drugstore?
The brother was a pharmacist. Now, I'm not sure how long he practiced here in Seneca.
What was his name?
One of them they referred to as B.S. and the other one as Boston. No, B.C. One was B.C. because my father was B.S., Bryant.
Uh-huh.
And one was referred to as B.C., but I don't remember what his name was. And the other one was Boston. So, and one of those brothers was a pharmacist. Yes.
Okay.
And then later on, after they built a house at Oak Street, the basement was converted into an office. So it was like waiting area and examining room, restroom, you know, thing.
Did anyone ever tell you how he started his practice? I mean, here he is, a doctor, he's graduated from college. How did he begin? Did you ever hear anything like that?
I often wondered, and I don't know if anybody would have still been around, you know, at the time, by the time I showed up.
Right. I was just curious how he began.
But I had wondered, you know, do you just show up in town and, you know, pass the word?
So you really don't know.
I graduated and I'm back. So I don't know.
You don't know if he contacted a white doctor friend that he knew, or you just don't know, right?
Well, I just assumed by him having come from the area that is when he graduated, that was like understood that he would come back home.
Right.
So I just assume. I really don't know.
Hmm. Did any of your older relatives ever warn you to be careful about white people or tell you stories to be careful about white people? Anything like that?
No, not really. I don't think so.
How about the law back then? Did you ever hear anything about they were treated differently by the law? And I'm talking back.
Well, you kind of heard of, like I said, particular incidences that, like hearsay kind of things, that something happened to some such person. But no firsthand, I don't know of any firsthand from any of my family members. I do remember my mother and grandmother and some of them talking about things that, you know, rumors of things that had happened to people by law enforcement people and by just general public.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I don't recall of any specific incident occurring in any family.
What about married couples in your family? How did they treat each other? For instance, on either set of your grandparents, do you know whether, like, was one person the boss or were the relationships equal? You didn't know your father's parents.
I didn't know my father's parents, but now my mother's parents, I understand. Like, since my grandfather was, like, on the road all the time because he worked with the highway and stuff, so he was mostly gone. And it kind of fell to my grandmother, I guess, to kind of take care of, there were three girls of them. So it's like she just kind of took care of them. And then by them interchanging regularly with other family members, cousins and uncles and that, it was like a sharing of this kind of situation. So
she sort of held the family together while he was gone. Yeah.
And I think they did just kind of, they finally separated. I don't know if they ever had an official divorce as such.
Well, they did separate.
But I think when he died, he was living in Charlotte.
Well, he wasn't even here. So he was actually living in Charlotte by the time his
death.
So
they he was living in Charlotte when he died. But I think, as I recall, I think they brought his body back here for the funeral. And
she was here still.
She was still here. I think I was really, really little. That one I don't remember at all. Oh, but I do remember him talking about it. And I think that was kind of instrumental in my mother wanting me to go to school in Charlotte. And I eventually went to college in Charlotte, I think she did. Because they had been up to visit him while he was there. Sure. So somewhere along the line, there was this separation. But like what triggered it other than they were just used to being apart? Because if he was always on the road, you know, I really don't know if any particular thing triggered it.
What about your parents? Do you know that you were so little, but from what you've heard or what your mother might have told you, do you know how they
Well, from listening to them, it was like a kind of a equal thing, but especially with his position, with him of position and older, I think as outspoken as my mom was, I think it was still a kind of, it was quite a bit of respect there as well as love. So, you know, it was like, yeah, okay, well, this works
well,
here.
She probably deferred to him because
of respect.
I'm sure
she hung in there pretty good, though. I don't think she
ever
had a
problem
with that.
He was head of the household, but she was co-head.
Yeah, she was the boss, so.
Yeah, okay.
But I really do think that it was kind of, because she has mentioned that sometimes when they would be making decisions, especially major things, that he would always, what do you think, Jean? Because he always called her Jean. So there was some, you know, it was sharing.
Sure.
He didn't just up and all the time.
Right.
You know, take charge like you do here of some, especially of the past times.
Sure.
But from listening to her, it was like a kind of an even thing, I think.
How about, did any of your older relatives ever talk about black women who had relationships with white men back then? Or, you know, kinds of relationships and how they felt about them.
I really don't. At least not here in this area. I do remember some, you know, cousins talking about other cousins who'd gone away, like, to the city. And maybe had moved, because a lot of our relatives moved to, like, Ohio, some in New York, of course, and, somewhere in Illinois, around Chicago, in that area. So I do remember them mentioning different relatives who had gone to other areas in Washington, D.C. And sometimes you'd hear them refer to that they were dating or had married. But for some reason, I never, ever got to see these people. So I always wondered, did they really? You know.
Yeah.
But you would hear, you know, family gossip.
You'd
be talking about that.
What about mulattoes? Was that an obvious or big thing back then that they talk about?
I don't know of any. Now, you did have some. See, like the Sizemore side tended to be, say, lighter skin.
Yeah.
And then on the other side, my mother's side, they were like McDowells.
Uh-huh.
And they were, like, darker, I think. But I don't ever hear them, I don't recall ever there being a problem
with like, the light skin,
you know, this is the light skin versus
the
dark skin side of the family. I don't recall if there ever being a problem because
my
mother and aunts always, you know, everybody always would, like I said, would visit together regularly, like every week.
Right.
And at least every 2 or 3 weeks, they would all see each other. So it was like just another cousin, part of the family.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be a different treatment like white people gave the lighter skinned ones better treatment or anything like that.
I don't recall of anything, of hearing any problem along that line because of that. Any problems really at all.
Did you ever hear people who passed for white, or was there gossip about that?
I don't think I've ever heard them mention, especially nobody in the family. Sometimes they refer to someone who could have. And I've met several relatives, really, that I had to ask. You sure? cousin, you know. Sure, that's another one of your cousins. Okay, thank you, fine. But even, you know, even then, you would say, okay. And but they would say, oh, yeah, well, she, that was like a remark. Yeah, well, she could have passed, or he could have passed for white. And it made me think, well, even though it could, they didn't, so I don't know of any.
How about Indians? Was there any Indians around here, or Indian blood that you knew of?
Now, I remember some them talking about different people in the area. I don't recall there being anyone in our family that had been like a direct or indirect descendant from some of the Indians
Charles
around
Watson
the area.
Mentioned a
now,
that
I
he
think on
Joseph.
Their side, I'm not sure if my father's mother did not have some part in her, but what, I don't know. I don't know if it had been like a second generation kind of thing or what, but I do recall someone mentioning that she was part, you know, using that as the reference, she was part Indian.
Well, I thought on my take with Mr. Watson, it's been a while now, that he mentioned something about Joseph
Now,
Sharp.
It could be.
Having some Indian, but you didn't hear that.
I don't.
Okay.
I remember someone.
That's all I was trying to substantiate what he said.
Now I just remember it being said that somebody has some Indian in. I might have misunderstood it to think that it was the wife, but it could very well have been him. I just remember. I do remember someone mentioning
someone.
It.
That's how.
But
I was
nobody ever made a big deal about it. Yeah.
Okay. When you're father was little, and you may not know this at all, but or your mother, do you know how often they would go to places like Greenville or Anderson, or if they had occasion to travel there for anything particular or reasons that they went there?
I don't know, other than like visiting relatives or even like major shopping as such.
Yeah.
I really don't know that was a regular routine.
Right.
But I think they did do a bit of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did a lot, like on the train, because I remember hearing them talking about the train quite a bit, because that was really about all he had.
So they would take
at
train
the time. So I do remember them talking about the train, because that was how some of them had moved away. They boarded the train and they would come back and see it at early 1900s. The train stopped at every little town at that time. See, now you just have to take a chance and find whether
it was probably affordable back then.
Yeah, and that was it. That was an easy way to travel.
Right.
You could load up with whatever you wanted to carry. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to worry about so much luggage, whatever you needed to carry. And I do recall them mentioning that. They would travel back and forth a lot to Atlanta.
It's interesting, because I haven't heard that mentioned as much.
But I don't, I really don't know if that was like a regular routine.
Yeah.
Now, my father was a member of the state medical.
Oh, yeah. How would he go?
Association. Well, it was, what did they call it? Well, it was a separate organization. So there were several of them in the upstate that would go, and they would say if they met in Columbia. Then a lot of them from over around Greenville and here, because I remember hearing my mother talk about, because the wives were always a member of the what they call the auxiliary.
Uh-huh.
And so they did a lot of things together. Some of the wives, later on, some of my sorrows, I found out, had been members of the auxiliary with my mother. And they all knew me and knew her from that. So they would travel a lot for that.
And then how would they go, by train? In the beginning?
Usually all by car.
Car later.
You know, they had vehicles of their own, and they would like pair up or team up and go.
But back in your daddy's day, though, it was definitely segregated medical groups.
I really don't know. Like after my father died, I don't think my mother continued to be a part of it, and that was like 56.
Right.
So I don't know when those changed or if they ever
when
changed.
When the AMA became, I'm sure the AMA has got to be
integrated. Well,
now.
I'm sure it's integrated, but a lot of times they still have members of the National Medical Association, what it's called.
Oh, okay.
So some of them may be like dual members. They may be members of this as well as the AMA.
Oh,
well,
I see. National is what?
National Medical Association.
It's the black group.
It's the black group.
And the AMA is the
American
the white
Medical
group.
Association.
I didn't know that. See, I've never known that.
And then, like within the state, you had your state, or South, say the South Carolina Medical Association. And then I think theirs was called like the State Medical Association of South Carolina or something. You know, there was always
they
be
would
a
just
slight
the
difference
around.
In the in the wording. Mm-hmm. And you, but if you saw it, you knew which one was which, I assume. Because I remember seeing some like materials or letterheads or something from that particular organization. So I do remember Mama talking about them going to meetings. And a lot of times we get together with some of the other doctors up in this area to go, so you didn't just go by yourself, just the two of them, and they would like get together and go. And
did they mostly go to Columbia, or did they go to other places?
Well, I assume that they kind of spread it around, just like any of the other meetings. Maybe sometimes they'd meet in Columbia, sometimes maybe Charleston, because I do remember mentioning going to Charleston quite a bit, because my godmother's... And her husband, Dr. Hill.
Oh.
This was like, you know, early, like 30s, 40s.
Okay, 50s. Who is Dr. Hill?
Dr. Hill is a pharmacist here in Seneca.
Right.
And his wife is my godmother. So they would travel a lot together. Yeah.
What are their names?
Harold
Hill.
Harold Hill, H. E. Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Eugenia. So the four of them, the two of them and my parents, would travel a lot to different medical meetings and just going different places. And
and
they had moved here from Charleston when they moved in early, and they moved right across the street. So they became really close friends over the years. So when I came along, they became my godparents.
Oh, right.
So I know they traveled a lot. And like to other things, I remember them talking about going to the World's Fair in 1939. That was a big, evidently a real big thing for 1939, and I know the four of them got together, and I think my aunt and uncle went, so it was like the six of them just kind of got together and drove to New York and for the big fair, and then came back. So that was some traveling around. Now, how often they wanted to, you know, had to go like to Greenville and Anderson, except for meetings, and then there was like a lot of church traveling. Because the different churches were generally kind of scattered a bit. And so you went to that. Ball games, like some of the colleges who had, say, football teams. I remember them talking about going to some of those games, like especially down in Columbia, like Benedict. And those older schools who had teams years, you know, before. And then my mother had gone to nursing school in that area, in Greenwood and...
Yeah.
In Columbia, so there was some connection. So they'd get together and travel, but like just every day running back and forth. I really don't know.
What about in Greenville, Anderson? Were there opportunities for black people available there that were not found in, say, Seneca, this area?
That could very possibly be. I don't know of anything particular in that regard, but a larger place, a little larger at least,
there
would have been a few more facilities may be available. Textile situations, the mills, several of them.
More jobs.
A lot of them work with, like, say, in the hospitals, the different hospitals, I remember some of them.
What about celebrations? Did you ever hear of any celebrations that your father's family or mother's family used to have?
Now, I remember my mother talking about when she was little, Christmases was always a real big thing. And my grandmother's other sisters and brothers and family would all, and they'd all get together, and it was one big family kind of gathering. And some of the older cousins or brothers or uncles would be designated to be Santa Claus each year.
So they did have a Santa.
And so that was like a big thing.
What did Santa Claus bring? Did you ever hear
well,
that?
Well. From what I could piece together later on, after I was allowed to know that somebody else was Santa Claus, that evidently each of the families would just bring, you know, their special gifts for their particular children, and it would like all go under the tree, and whoever got to be Santa Claus that year would distribute them, because they would have the names and everything on them. Because I remember a cousin that was the same age as my mother. For years, I guess until he died, he teased Mama about one of those particular incidents when the Santa Claus had come in, and it scared all the kids. You know, well, kids now even, a lot of are afraid of Santa Claus.
Sure.
Well, when this person came in the door, and evidently they had given him a beard, the whole works, you know, as near as possible, we're talking 1920s maybe, you know. He had come in all this dressed and in the bag and the horse, and it scared the kids, so they all ran to their, tried to get to their mothers, you know, for protection here. And Mama would say that her two sisters had gone to her mother's lap, so she didn't have any lap left, so she went to her aunt's lap, and that threw him not to have anybody to go to. So he always blamed her for years. I mean,
it's been on and on.
He had to be in his 70s. You know,
you're kidding. Even then?
You took my mama's lap. And I was,
oh my
gosh. And I kept wondering, what is he talking about? And my mom finally told me when I was real little, that was, and I would just die. And I thought, you're kidding. And he still fusses at you for that. Yeah, you took my mama's lap. And that was his, the two of them would go on about it for hours. And I just laughed and I thought, y'all gotta be kidding. We're talking something that happened 50 years ago. And y'all still right around, you know, more than that. But that's one incident I do remember. But that Christmas was a big thing.
Big celebration.
And
did they give each other?
Now, in the summers, like you had, like 4th of July, that was a big out, and it was like a big outdoor games for the kids. And then even like on those Sundays when they would get together, that was a big thing. Everybody kind of would bring something, but you'd still get there, and everybody'd help cook.
Right.
So.
What did they do on 4th of July? Did they have parades or anything?
No, I don't know about parades, but they played ball a lot. I understand it. Baseball was a big thing because it was kind of easy to do. Yeah, you just set up an area. And several of them were very good, especially, I understand, on the Sizemore side, because some of those younger brothers actually got to go to school because they were good baseball players, and they kind of played in what you might call minor league around in this area. So they talked like, evidently they were pretty good at sports, and that was just a regular thing. And everybody seems from listening to them that everybody got to participate.
Right. Yeah. How about food? Do they bring picnics and have picnics?
Oh, yeah,
stuff like
yeah. Everybody would bring something, you know, to help feed your own family as well as to share with everybody else. And when you had, and most of them did have large families. Some of them had like 5 and 6 and 8 children.
Sure.
And I think my mother's family was probably about the smallest one. There were just 3 girls with them. But most from all of the cousins, see, now, most of them had like at least 6 or 8 children.
Sure.
And some more.
How about birthdays and anniversaries? Did they celebrate those?
Oh, yeah, that was usually a big thing from what I can hear, because each one of them seemed to kind of remember when the other's birthdays were.
Cause how nice.
Even, you know, later on, they would, like, call each other up or send a card, or so it made me think that this was something that evidently had gone on from the time they were little. Everybody kind of remembered and would recognize each other's birthday. Now, how detailed they would go, I don't know if it was like a big elaborate party for each person, or if it just happened to be this person's birthday this week or this month, and you recognize that person. But they did seem to remember them.
Did you know of any kind of gifts that family members would give to each other? Would they be just small gifts?
Now, I don't know any particular gifts.
What about Christmas gifts?
But
did they exchange,
I do remember
besides
that they
Santa?
Did.
They did give each other gifts.
I think they did, yes, from what they would talk.
And did they give
them? I gave you, so sometimes you'd hear them.
For years.
No, that wasn't you that did that. No, yes, it was. Well, maybe I didn't give it to you. Maybe it wasn't so, and I'm okay, right. You know, it's being the little kid at these gatherings, you know, it would be interesting to sit there and listen to them. You wonder, what are they talking about?
They're still
and
arguing.
And why are they arguing, you know, it was something that happened 50 years ago. You know, forget that.
When they were little.
But they loved it. They and somebody would have to bring up some incident. And they'd say, "What, you know, you pushed me in the creek and we were on our way to church and I had to walk." And I'm thinking, "Okay, how old were you?" "I was about 6. I'm thinking, "And you're 66 now, so what difference does it make?" You know, but I mean, I do the same thing.
It was fun to listen
to them, because a lot of times you wouldn't think, well, yeah, I guess they had to be little somewhere along the line. You don't really picture your parents and the older cousins as being little kids, you know.
What about Christmas gifts? Besides Santa, did they give exchange
gifts? I think that would be some, whether it was like within the family.
Yeah.
Quite possibly, because I remember my mother talking about, my mother was the middle one. She had a sister, Agnes, 2 years older, and a sister, Louise, 4 years younger.
Oh, uh-huh.
So the two older ones would always kind of look out for Louise. And so they would kind of that way. Now, within the family, there may have been quite a bit of exchanging. I don't know if there was a lot of exchanging from one family to the other. Like I said, because the sizes were so different.
And would you say, now what did Agnes do? You said your mother was the middle and she was a nurse.
Agnes was a teacher over in Spartanburg County.
And she's how much older?
She was 2 years older than my mother.
And she was a teacher. And Louise?
She was born in 1908.
Uh-huh.
And my Aunt Louise was 4 years younger. She was born in 1914.
Right.
And she was a teacher also.
Also a teacher.
And her husband, too. They eventually moved to Washington, D.C., and she worked with the Navy Department I don't know what her official title ever was, but I remember that was like 51. They moved right after I was born to Washington. But before that time, she and her husband both had been teachers here in Seneca.
How about hot suppers? Did you ever hear about those or know what they were or anything? Or cakewalks?
Now, I remember talking about cakewalks, and most of the time that would be associated with, like, with the church.
Uh-huh.
Maybe homecoming time, they'd take food, and they would have that. And sometimes, now, my mother was a member of what's called a federated club, which is here in the area, and they would do different kinds of activities, evidently similar to something like that. And dances, you know, they put on dances and parties, and one of our neighbors, Sloan's, that lived across the street on Oak Street, had a little kind of little club-like area, and they would get together for that. You know, it was a place that they could go. I guess kind of a bar-like place, really.
Mm-hmm.
And different ones in the neighborhood would get together, and they sit around, I guess like now, sit around and talk and
just entertain,
get together, you know, something other than just church and family. This was neighbors and other friends and stuff. So
about auctions, did you ever hear anything about any auctions?
No, I don't remember.
Okay. How do you see black life in Seneca as different from, say, some of the other surrounding areas, or do you see any differences from what you know of?
Now, I think from when my parents were younger, I think it was pretty cohesive. You had a lot of different people who were together as such. And so everybody knew everybody, like in any small town. And I think that in itself made it different. From listening to, say, some of the relatives who had moved away to, like, the larger cities, in trying to recreate that, they'd find other relatives or other neighbors who had come from the same areas. And so they would, in turn, get together on regular occasions. So I think that made it, still that idea of the small town and everybody knowing everybody and kind of trying to look out for everybody, that kind of thing. I think there was a closeness there during those early times. And again, it's like anybody's children was everybody's child. You know, if someone saw you doing wrong, it didn't matter whether you were my child or not. You know better. I know who you are. You know, I know your parents. Straighten up, you know, and no problem with that kind of thing. And I think that kind of, especially now, that's kind of missing. But I think that was that closeness in there. Everybody, even whether you went to the same churches, you still knew each other.
Sure.
And you did share some things, because like some of the churches didn't always meet every Sunday, so you kind of would, you know, visit around where the different churches sometimes. So.
Mm. Do you know what your mother's most prized possessions were? Was there ever anything special?
No, anything particular. That would be different things that she would mention from time to time that was special for different reasons.
Right.
And sometimes from like, it would just be from pictures. You know, we'd go through photo albums, she'd say, well, yeah, I remember this from some such incident or something. But I don't know that she actually had the, would keep that particular memento. In that regards, I remember certain things meaning something special.
How about your grandmother, her mother? Do you remember anything she specially? Because that would be going back a little further.
Well, let's see. Well, the same thing. There would be different things that she would be reminded of that was something special to her. Say when she was a child or growing up or some holiday, some special gift that someone had given her. But I don't know. It's like you misplace things, but you remember it. And I think that was mostly along that way.
What about your dad?
Now, with my dad, same kind of thing. I remember him talking about different things and different instances or events.
Sounds more like memories than...
Yeah, I think so. I don't recall any... It was like I mentioned before, my father's...